Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, so I just thought, as we being men of the people, that it would be appropriate, since I got my second shot today, to ask you, the people, for those that still are in the process of either getting their first or their second or being completely vaccinated, how you did, when the symptoms, if you had any, showed up. A lot of people during the break letting me know that even their parents in their 70s and 80s never had a symptom. That's phenomenal. And both Pfizer and Moderna. That's great.
That is great.
Largo asked, can someone smarter than me answer this? Does the shot mean you can't get it and spread it, or does the vax simply mean...
You can still
mean,
pass it, yeah.
It just, yeah, essentially what it means is that even if you get it, it will be a minimal experience as opposed to ICU, potential death, and lots of other things. I wasn't aware of that till one of my best friends got it and explained that to me.
Yeah, if you get the vaccine, it doesn't mean you can't pass the Rona.
Right.
To someone else. It absolutely means that you can pass it to someone else, so... At least that's the latest that I've seen, okay, in terms of the CDC and updates and stuff like that. You can absolutely still pass it if you've been vaccinated. So that is something to at least know. But again, I might be in the minority here, but I feel like some people agree with me here. But again, if you are that terrified, don't go out and stay more than 6 feet away from everybody. That's just how I feel about it. But yeah, we got Lewis. Lewis is on the press box and he wants to get in on this vaccine situation. What's up, man?
Okay.
Hey man, what's up, man? First time caller, man. Been a long time listener for you.
Appreciate
so,
it.
So man, due to work research, man, they made us take the shot, man. I was actually against it, you know. At the end of the day, you gotta do what your boss says you to do. And so I took my second shot this past weekend, man, and now I'm 30 years old, man, and I'm healthy. I mean, I think I'm healthy, take care of myself throughout this whole pandemic. You know, I've been following the rules, you know, keeping to my own, staying, you know, on my own lane. And so Saturday, man, I took the shot at 1 p.m. I was great. I, you know, went out and about with the family, took care of some business. At night, man, I got so sick at night, man. I had a fever, body ache out of this world, man. So the whole night I couldn't sleep. And thankfully, the next day, so roughly 12 hours later, it just went away, man. Like nothing happened. And to me, that was pretty crazy, man. Because me, myself, I don't believe in that whole vaccination. But to each his own, man. And I just want to share my experience, man. You know, just for those out there who are, you know, looking forward to
being vaccinated. Lewis, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks for giving us the insight.
I feel comfortable that there's a common theme there, that it seems like it might eventually pass over as long as you get to that 8, 10, 12 hour mark or 14 hour mark, depending on who you are.
I mean, you're talking about it like it's, you know, people forget, like, the flu shot is actually so that your body can develop a defense for it. You're getting the flu injected into you. Why everybody says, well, I got sick when I got the shot. Well, there's kind of a reason for that.
That's kind of, yeah. It's a dead form of the flu,
right?
Is essentially what it is. So, yeah.
So I just thought it would clear up some of the rumors and the misconceptions and also what to possibly expect. I'm encouraged by how many people didn't have side effects, but I also understand that, you know, as part of getting it, you do understand that there is a good chance you're going to get some of these symptoms.
Agreed. Lamont, you're on the press box. You want to get on this. What's up, man?
Yeah, man. I wasn't as lucky as you guys. My wife and I was at 3 o'clock, Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday, and we got the Johnson & Johnson, and we don't even much want to go into that right now.
Right.
But we got the Johnson & Johnson. My arm was burning. My arm was burning for about a day. Had the chills. Body was aching. My wife was the same. And you know, with the news that came out today, you know, my doctor told us the only thing he can recommend is we take a low dosage of aspirin for about the next 30 days because I guess aspirin is a blood thinner.
Right,
and
right.
I guess that'll prevent blood clots or whatever. But, yeah, man, we did have some effects. And that's all I have, man.
Wow, appreciate it, Lamont. Man, that's not good.
Well, I liked your idea. It's not good. That's his arm was burning and his wife was
but
having
just the
similar.
Fear now, if you to what you were saying when we were talking about this a week ago, at first it seemed like, hey, for whatever your case may be about whether you like needles and shots or not, the fact that one and done, Johnson & Johnson, a lot of people were kind of hoping that's the one they would get.
Right.
Now, if you're like Lamont or some of these other people that got it already, not the ones that were stopped before they got it because they put a hold on it.
Yeah.
You got it. Now you got to be wondering, now I'm dealing with not only COVID, but now in the back of my mind, I'm wondering, am I going to have to worry about blood clots?
Yeah, that Johnson & Johnson reputation took a complete 180. Oh. It went from, oh, man, Johnson & Johnson is the best. It's only one. You don't have no symptoms to, this is causing blood clots, and I think someone died from it. It was a complete 180 in terms of its reputation. So now that I feel like more people are on the Pfizer and the Moderna, it's just like, just go with, I guess, the safest route would be. So I just didn't, my ass was just being lazy. I just didn't want to go a second round. Now we're talking about stuff that's being put in your body. I guess you got to take it a little bit more seriously.
And the other thing that's weird
that.
To me, Nick, is the conflicting reports on, like I said,
on everything.
I have the antibodies, but I'm curious of the people that actually had the Rona, that you get the vaccines, and instead of, kind of like what we just said with the flu shot. So as part of getting a flu shot, if you are truly injecting the flu strand into you, right? And then your body builds up a defense mechanism for it. So if you've had the Rona, your body has had to build up some kind of an attempt to defend against it. You would think that would help you with the symptoms if you're then getting the shots. But evidently, some say yes, some say no.
Well, like just because you've had the flu before doesn't mean you'll never feel the flu symptoms ever again. It's supposed to be really more than anything, not life-threatening, right? So I guess that's probably just because you've been vaccinated, in the event that you go, you know, come across the COVID again and you catch it again, doesn't necessarily mean you won't ever get symptoms. I'm assuming that's the same thing. I mean, that's the reason why they have it literally on the vaccine. It literally says it doesn't prevent
right
COVID. You know what I mean?
Someone said they had the Pfizer shot, arm burned and was sore for a day and a half, but then 3 days later, I had a headache for a solid 2 days. Okay. So again, I had the Rona in December. I heard it either made the symptoms worse or not as bad. Well, I mean, you didn't tell me which you did, but yeah, that's pretty much what we're getting here is it's like a crapshoot. I mean, there is no definitive answer of you're going to get this or this is definitely going to happen. Everybody's different. Like I told you, they told me based on your blood type, it can, like I heard O negative for sure. And some people even said O negative or O positive supposedly reduces the symptoms.
I've heard that basically the entire pandemic.
Yes.
I've heard that basically the entire pandemic, but I don't know if that's true or not. I have no idea. No. Sergio's on the press box. He wants to get in on this. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So personally, I haven't taken any of them, but my parents are in the mid-70s, and so with today's news, I'm kind of freaking out because they took the Johnson & Johnson mm-hmm. Thursday. Mm-hmm. So they're on day five. My dad, he's healthier than my mom, but he said he's got the pain in the arm that's real terrible, and he can't, you know, he's in pain the whole time. My mom, who's supposed to be in a little bit worse condition as far as health-wise, she said she's had no problems, but, you know, I'd like to hear more people calling about the Johnson & Johnson just to, you know, we're hearing a lot about the Pfizer Moderna. Like I said, just hearing today's news made me a little bit worried about them.
I'm with you, Sergio.
A lot of
appreciate
people
the
are,
call.
Sergio.
Just like when Lamont said that, that's what kind of struck a nerve with me was, it's one thing to say, hey, I'm worried about side effects from the Johnson & Johnson because that was the lowest success rate percentage of the three different companies that were doing the shots.
Right.
But now, if you're someone that's already gotten the Johnson & Johnson shot, whether you had side effects or not, you got a whole different ballgame to worry about now because you're worried about the fact, are you going to be one of that small percentage of people that has to worry about blood clots and one person lost their life?
It's a scary situation,
it
but
is.
At the same time, I feel like everybody kind of feels like they have to get it. You know, I want to get on planes again and start traveling. I want to do some things.
Go to concerts. Go to games. Like, we want to see a full house for a home game.
So that's to be honest with you, I was pretty resistant, but at this point, it's like, if this is what I got to do, I'll take my chances. I hope I'll survive the vaccine and I'll be all right. You know what I mean? It's a scary situation
that's
for everybody.
Thing we can get to. You're someone that hasn't gotten it yet. Now you've got more reservations than you had when you just
and I've
were
never
thinking about
tested,
should you get it.
And I've never tested positive, and I've taken several tests.
Yeah.
That's the
no,
thing.
You have.
That's the thing.
Crazy stuff. All right, we're rolling through the final hour of the program. Lots more to get to, including more discussion on this. But you guys bring it to the table, and we'll get it out there so we can discuss it. That's what we do here. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, rolling through the final hour of the program. Just thought it'd be helpful and interesting for you guys as well as us as we learn more about everybody that's been vaccinated, side effects that they've had or haven't had, and all the other things. And again, even from text message, some very, very pertinent and interesting question, thought-provoking comments. Yes, Josh and Beaumont and others have said the rumor is the vaccine's only going to last about 6 to 8 months. And I've heard that as well. So that is an interesting tidbit. Other people still getting us with their symptoms. But then the question that I also was thinking about, why do you need the vaccine if you've already had the virus? Your body already had the virus and fought it. So that's a question. I don't have that answer. I don't know. Can we get Dr. Fauci on line one, Nick? No?
We could.
I don't think we could. We could try.
He probably wouldn't answer us. But since we're on the subject, it looks like if you're a Buffalo Bills fan,
yes,
as long as you're vaccinated, 100% capacity.
No, really?
No vaccination.
Okay.
No entry. So is that 100? I guess it is.
How do they verify that? Do you have to have, like,
don't
your
you have
paperwork?
A card? I mean, I guess you have to use the vaccine card.
So that was the mistake I made this morning. Is I'm sitting there going, okay, I got my driver's license. I texted Lisa. I was like, do I need my insurance card too? She said, bring it, but I don't think you need it. And I always carry it with me. But when I got there, I had a brain fart. And they go, do you have your piece of paper? They give you, when you get your first shot, they give you the...
like a temporary one
that says... what everybody's
been
tweeting pictures of when they get it, you know, when they... It
but
says,
isn't that after the second or after
no,
the first one?
No, you get it for your first one. And then I didn't realize. I thought you just get a second one for the second one. You keep them together. And the lady goes, do you have the certificate from your first one? I go, no. And I'm like, oh, God, if they tell me after waiting in line
it's
that I'm
be
not
like
going to get this
license.
Damn thing and they're going
to
send me
I want
me
it
home.
To be a driver's license size so I can just put it in my wallet. That would be the
anyway,
ideal.
Anyway, she got one of the forms, was able to look up under the computer when I got the first shot and everything like that, then put the information for the second shot. But that, I mean, when you say that about the Buffalo Bills, do you have to present that to be able to be, because you can't just
you
give
have?
A verbal. Because what if someone says,
oh, 100%.
It's just like at the gyms and everything else. People are saying, I don't have it, but I told you that we heard from trainers that said the muscle heads that had to get their lift on had it, but they would take an ice pack in their car, and then when they walked in,
for
their
the
temperature would
test.
Be normal,
yeah.
Or they just, you want the verbal.
Well, No. If they're going to go as far as saying no vaccine, no entry, then there's going to be some sort of protocol installed that, and I would imagine it's the card, because the card is essentially going to turn into like a government document that should not be able to be duplicated or replicated or anything like that. That way you just go in there, it's yours, it's dedicated to you and you only, it's special for you, and you can go into the stadium as long as you're vaccinated. I'm okay with this.
I'm with you, but to the standpoint too, if you want to do it quick and easy.
Just like, get it like the insurance card or a credit card.
With yeah, or the barcode on the back of your driver's license. So therefore you just
or
scan
security
it.
Yes.
You can scan it and it makes it quick and easy, because someone in the 215 area code said, asking for a vaccination card or a vaccine passport sounds like a HIPAA violation. I'm also with that. It does sound like it could be.
Yeah. But, at this point, it just seems like everybody's trying to enforce. Because, like, I mentioned the Tom Pelis, the news about the NFL informing all teams that they have to report on a weekly, or not a weekly basis, but in an incremental basis about all the employees that they have vaccinated or not vaccinated. And it's interesting because the NFL technically cannot mandate players to get vaccinated. But it doesn't matter. Everybody is still trying to enforce their own rules for their own protection. And that's the reason why you see these, you see some venues that have 50% capacity. Some of them have 100% capacity. Some people are like, yes, but we have social distancing. Some people say no. That's why you have all these rules, because they're trying to enforce their own rules despite what the laws might be or the HIPAA laws might be, because they want to protect themselves. I don't know if that is a violation of HIPAA laws, but there's too many vaccine cards out there at this point. So I don't understand why it wouldn't be. But we got Mark on the press box. He wants to get on the vaccine situation. Mark, you're on the press box. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
I like your show. So a couple of quick things. All my family, we all have the vaccine. We got the Moderna. I think my mom got Pfizer. My mom and I, second one, we were lethargic, nothing bad. My wife got beat down big time with the vaccine. Was for 3 days was really bad. Basically, she felt like she had the Rona. I have a twin brother who got COVID a few months back, and on his first shot, he was beat up pretty good. He said for the next couple of days. So I guess that the takeaway is it hits everyone different. But regarding the Johnson & Johnson, I'm in a WhatsApp thread with a bunch of people, and 6 out of 7 million cases had kind of the deadly blood clots. And I saw Fauci this morning, or I'm sorry, Sanjay Gupta, said that the chances of something severe happening right now is like 1 in a million.
Yeah.
And I know no one wants to be that one.
Six.
Yeah, but,
let me clarify that too, Mark, because you said that kind of quickly. 6 total people out of 7 million, which is what I said earlier. Not 6 out of 7 million, because it sounds like 6 million had the chance.
Or 6%.
6 out of 7 million.
Right. Six individuals out of 7 million vaccines. So, yeah, at least hopefully that can put your mind a little at ease if you already have gotten the Johnson & Johnson shot. Mark, we appreciate the call.
Correct. Thank you very much.
Good information, man. We appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, look, and everybody's going to handle it different, as we said. The one thing that we've said from the start of this, Nick, when we first started talking about it and we didn't know how big it was going to get, was the one thing that's certain is the uncertainty of the whole thing, because each individual handles everything different.
Yeah, there's so much uncertainty, but, look, I'm uncertain about it too, but I'm going to get it done. I'm not encouraged. If you don't want to get it done, don't get it done. Like, it's not me, unless a lot of people feel like they're doing it because their jobs or their employers. You know what I mean? They really need to get it done. You know, some people are doing it because their loved ones.
How would you feel about that, though, with the caller we got a few calls back that said, my boss said we had to get it, so I did. I don't think you should be put in that situation either. I don't think anybody can tell you what you have to do when it comes to something with your health like this.
You can't say, hey, if you don't get vaccinated, you can't be employed here. You can't say that. I guess that's illegal.
I'm not an HR expert, but it just sounds like you can't force someone to do something that they don't want to do.
Like, you can't make someone get a flu shot
and hold their employment in limbo because of it.
It sounds like you're right, because I don't feel like you can't get a job if you don't get a flu shot.
I had friends working in hospitals at the peak of all of this with ICUs and other things. And the hospitals didn't want them to get it, because then if they tested positive or they had contact tracing and had to sit out, they were going to have real problems getting enough employees. So they were actually trying to discourage it, which is weird.
That is a subject that a lot of people get really angry about. Boy, do they get mad. A lot of the encouragement of not getting vaccinated is something that is. That just blows things up sometimes.
And someone just texted, I agree with you, unless you work in the medical industry, then you should have to get one, every single one of them. I agree. I just know people in the medical industry that it completely just flabbergasted me when they were telling me they really don't want you to get it. Because one, they're telling you got to do it on your own time. And if you got to quarantine at all, that's on you. You can't use, you don't get paid for it, for paid leave. And then if you do get it, they really didn't want to know because they were so understaffed.
Right. And nobody wants to deal with an understaffed situation in the pandemic. It's like the worst situation possible. But we got Jeff. He wants to get on this. He's on the press box. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Okay, so I'm going to touch on a couple things for you to clear some things up for you on legal side type things. So Texas is an at-will state.
Yep.
So an employer can fire an employee for anything regardless. They don't need a reason why. So if you didn't get that shot, they could let you go, and they wouldn't have to explain why. Also, it's not a HIPAA violation to have to show your card that you got a shot. It's like when you were in school and you got the measles shot and the chickenpox shot and all that other stuff that you showed the school, because it falls under the government entity.
Okay. Think I'm with
you. So it doesn't, yeah, so it won't fall under a HIPAA, so it's not breaking any HIPAA rules to show that card that you got a COVID shot.
There you go.
Thank you, man.
We appreciate it, Jeff.
Good stuff. And we got a Eric texted us and said, my best friend's a doctor. They don't have to get the vaccine, and they don't have to get tested weekly, but he has been tested twice. It does make you wonder. He's right. It makes me wonder immediately, because the one thing I think of when I'm going to a hospital or a doctor's office, especially with a subject like this to deal with, is I'm walking into a safe environment where at least I know the people I'm going to be dealing with are going to be at the utmost of safety and health protocols. And now I'm starting to wonder if that's the case.
Yeah, it is. That's just the way it is. Just the way it is. But look, I mean, I appreciate all the clarification.
I was going to say, hopefully this is at least giving people more information.
Yes. Hopefully, if you are, if you had any questions, that could, I mean, that's not necessarily our job, but we talk about everything.
Right. And that's kind of what we do. And we try to give you guys, and a lot of people are saying thank you because it has been insightful for them. Whether you've already gotten it, you've gotten one of them, or you're planning on getting one of them, or not planning.
So how are you feeling right now? Is there any symptoms kicking in? You're not feeling sick?
I'm so far good.
Dang it.
Knock on wood, but I'm so far good. But I told you that if I do get nauseated, I will come in and throw up on you. And I hope it is delayed until tomorrow about showtime so that I can do exactly that. Now, what would be the worst combination of puke? What could I eat prior so I could really make it the smelliest, worst experience
buffalo
for you?
Buffalo Wild Wings?
I throw
buffalo
up
sauce? Any type of wing sauce?
That's going to bother you a lot?
Oh, that dude, when you throw that up, that is the worst. That is okay. The most awful, most foul smell ever.
Then that's what we're going to shoot for. If I start feeling nauseated at all, I'm going to go to Buffalo Wild Wings.
It doesn't have to be Buffalo Wild Wings. Let's not put that bad juju on them. I'm just saying.
No, because it's good food that you just don't want to have regurgitated on wing you, and that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do.
Okay.
Because of your hateful thinking towards me.
No, not that's okay. I would run fast.
Well, that's never happened in your life.
Or lock the door.
Well, that's possible. All right, we'll be back with the final half hour of the program. It's Press Box.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back for the final half hour of the program. It's Press Box on Tuesday on ESPN. As you guys have been phenomenal in terms of your feedback and giving us information as it relates to getting the vaccine. And Lamont brings up a good point that if we would do such thing as having a vaccination card, it would unintentionally create a black market for the vaccine cards. And then for those that didn't want to get the vaccine.
I don't know if it's unintentionally. It's intentionally. It's going to happen. I mean, that's why there's fake IDs. There's always a black market.
Well, but I'm saying what he's saying is the thought by creating those cards, in creating those cards, you unintentionally create a market and a desire for people to want to get them illegally.
Agreed.
And you know, fudge the system like fake IDs.
Absolutely, because you can just, there's all kinds of fancy printers you could probably buy and manufacture a fake vaccine card, like you can manufacture a fake medical insurance card or a driver's license. So
think about that, what you just said. Like, when we were in college, you had to find experts and guys with, like, X-Acto knives and the way to be able to superimpose and put, and with the finish on
and
driver's
the hologram
license
and
yeah.
All that. Yeah.
Before the holograms too, just to get the picture right and all that other stuff on fake IDs. Now we're creating 3D replacement parts and things for everything with 3D printers. Think about how easy it's got to be right now to get a fake ID.
It's still easy, even though it's gotten harder. Isn't that weird? Even though technology's evolved and IDs are harder to replicate, it's almost gotten easier because technology is advanced. I used to get my fake IDs from some store right here on Westheimer back in the day, like 15 years ago, 20 years. How old do you have to be? 20 years ago. Damn, I'm old.
There you are.
Damn, I'm old. That was 20 years ago.
The fact that it's taken you this long to realize it.
Damn.
Because you should have already realized that. That's crazy.
About 5 minutes away from fart and dust, I'm sold. But yeah, dude, fake ID places used to be all over. They used to be right here on Westheimer in Richmond.
So
that's a good conversation. Where did you get your fake ID when you were a kid? 713-780-3776. I want to know.
Man, I'm trying to remember. I had one. And I ended up finally, someone took it away at a bar.
Sons of bitches.
In college. Yeah, and I'm trying to remember.
I bought one that said, this is not a legal government document, and then I just erased those words off the ID.
There were like, it was almost like shady drug dealers on the corner. There were guys in college that were the guys you knew to go to.
Yeah.
Because they had the fake IDs.
Yeah.
And they would just go through and go, yeah, you look like this person, or yeah, you look close enough to this person. And then you had to memorize, oh yeah, my real name is Tyrone Franklin, and I'm from Menasha, Wisconsin.
Yeah. Here's, and you got to remember the birth date.
Yeah.
Always pick something really close to your birthday. You know what I'm saying? If you can get them to print it, it cost me $25.
Then they'd stump you with like, hey, I'm sorry, but what's your weight on your driver's license? Or what's your address again? You're like, I know I live on Washington Avenue.
I'll get to the step.
All right, you got me. Can I have it? I'm gone.
Nope, I'm keeping it.
That's what would suck. You paid for it, and then someone takes it away.
That bouncer was an a-hole.
Yeah, that's bothered me. Let's be honest. When I got that thing taken away, I was pissed.
Now we got all these calls about fake IDs.
You did, Nick. You stirred the pot.
Slappy, you're on the press box. What's up, man?
Not much, man. Hey, I used to get my fake ID. Remember, we used to cruise Richmond. I got mine from a place called Copycat, man.
I remember Copycat.
There you go.
Yeah, mine was from California, brother. Got me in every time. T-Town every time, baby.
And they never mess with you.
I'm sorry?
They never mess with you. You always got in and you never got it taken up?
Never got it taken up, man. Especially back then. Like, whenever I got that, matter of fact, this kid, man, I met him at Astroworld. He told me about it. And I was like, whoa, word? So, shoot, it was legit.
That's nice. Appreciate it, Slappy. Someone texted in, we used to go to Mr. ID's over by NRG Stadium. Fingernail polish remover took off the not government issued ID.
Yep.
It would scan and everything.
Yep. Oh, okay. Those were the good old days. Yo, Adrian had the wackest ass name. What was that for his fake ID that he put on Twitter? You Punky Bunkin? What?
He's making that up.
Yep. There's no way that was on his fake.
He's making that up.
He has to be. Albert, you're on the press box. You want to talk about fake IDs as well? What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? Actually, you just kind of harped on it right there. Mr. Idea right there on NRG. I remember I was, I think, 18 or 19, and my birthday was in August. So mom felt bad that all my buddies were going out and be able to experience stuff. So we went to NRG on Championship Sunday. I saw Marshawn Lynch do that, that dive into the end zone while grabbing his crotch. It's a story I'll never forget. It's kind of crazy reminiscing on times like this. But, yeah, Mr. Idea with the nail polish remover from Louisiana. I know, you know, my buddies from the southeast side of town down here now, Deer Park, flooded that area, getting fake ID. So, good little story, good little segment, guys, reminiscing on some nostalgic times.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call. Someone said my brother was a cop. He'd confiscate the IDs and then hook me up. Now, that's just dirty, man. Come on, we're trying to clean up the profession of being a police officer. That's not helping.
That's not helping at all, dude.
Damn. Hey, Junior, look what I got. I got these kids... their IDs at a bar the other night. You look like this dude. Go get hammered. Get out of here.
Mel, you're on the press box. You want to talk about this? What's up, man?
Yeah, I used to make fake IDs. I'm 65 years old. I used to go down to the Division of Motor Vehicles and get those old Manila debt cards, and then I would have the guys in school give me those photos that you would take in those little photo booths, and I typed them up and made them the Northern Virginia Community College student ID and Northern Virginia Community College library card. They were so good they got accepted at the cellar door in Washington, D.C. all the time. I sold them for $20, two for 30, and everybody bought 30. I made $30,000 in 1970 money. Selling fake ID cards.
Wow.
That's what
if you ever had your identity theft stolen, it was Mel. I can *69 it right now and get his number. If you ever had your identity stolen, it was definitely Mel. Guaranteed.
Mel, you're dirty, but very
but good for you. Ingenious. Damn, you're a hustler.
Yes.
Jeez.
Someone said I got mine off the internet. It was terrible. It looked like a library card, but it's because you probably didn't get it you didn't pay enough money for it. Someone said, I had mine taken at Night Moves off of 1960, and I wasn't even trying to be 21. I just wanted to be 18.
What was that car dealership in Katy that turned into a club? They never questioned my fake ID.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Off of I-10.
What was it? Damn. It was like a Porsche dealership.
During the All-Star, the baseball All-Star game. Like Manny Ramirez, yep. And they had parties there, yep.
Boy,
yep.
They were nice to me about my fake IDs. I tell you what, they didn't give a damn.
Here's more ingenuity that's dirty. My grandparents owned a bar, and they used to confiscate the IDs. Then I'd go in and steal them from them and sell them to all my high school and college buddies.
Oh, that's a legit business.
Wow, you people are dirty and ingenious in making money.
He landed on a landmine, but a good landmine.
Man, I guess. Off of Westheimer, but it was in Oklahoma because those look better than Texas ones. But at a certain point, places stop taking out-of-state IDs.
No, you can't do that. That's illegal.
They stopped taking them if they were maybe.
I think that's dumb. How are you? What if you just drove in from Arizona or something? That's ridiculous. How could you do that?
Granado was telling a story the other morning about, I don't know if it was Frankie's friends or something like that, but they came in and they got their ID. They weren't allowed in because they had out of state ID, and then they called the cops on it because they wanted to verify that they were actually of age. They just weren't being believed by the bar. And the cops didn't show up for a while, and it was a big issue. So I don't know. But I know that there was a time when there were a lot of places that wouldn't take out-of-state IDs because they knew that for most chances are they were fake.
Well, they do have those signs that say they have the right to refuse business. So maybe that falls under that. I don't know. I mean,
Now, I'm with this. I used to have enough friends that were bouncers in college because of playing. If you played baseball and you played sports with upperclassmen, they were normally the guys that got the bouncer gigs on weekends at the bars.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of times I didn't need the fake ID because I knew the bouncer.
You. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You just had to play it cool if anybody ever came in to try and bust it. You want to get some more calls?
That's up to you. You want to do? We kind of forgot about I kind of moved on from the vaccine thing. But we can do that.
Yeah, well, we got a fake ID at least, and then we can see if we can get back to the other one. But
Sean, you're on the press box. What's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Chicago Sean calling in. Hey. It really just depends on who it is, because I'll tell you this. I used to walk in with my high school letterman jacket at certain spots in my ear. So it really just depends who you're getting it from and where you're going.
All right, Sean, that's fine. Thanks. I know you wanted to get down on Rush Street, and in order to do that and get in Mothers and places like that, you had to pull a few strings.
I feel like he's talking in a voice more now than he did in the past. Like, did he exaggerate the accent there?
Nick, yes. I don't know if he exaggerated it, but here's the problem that I have, and we've had this problem in the past. We create our own monsters. But when we create our own monsters, well, do you know how we created this monster? You know you've created your own monster when they've given themselves their own nickname.
Chicago Sean.
Chicago Sean.
Because when you first started calling Sean, you weren't called Chicago Sean.
You were just Sean.
You were just Sean.
Now you're, hey, guys, it's your old friend, Chicago Sean. All right, then, let's move on from that one. You got your call.
I mean, should we address him as Chicago Sean? Because there's a lot of people, like Houdini. Yeah. Who else gave themselves a nickname?
Every show has their own mix of people that have nicknames, and you've got La Raza.
That's right. La Raza, that's for sure. Yeah. Who else has nicknames? There's a bunch of people that have nicknames.
There's the guy that got banned. There was lots of them. So they're out there. It's legal for them to refuse out-of-state licenses for in places of purchase of alcohol. So we got that verification.
There you go.
We got a lot of smart listeners.
We got some attorneys.
We had attorneys calling in. We got some cops thieves. Calling. Yeah.
Identity theft people.
Now, AR Platinum just bribed people. He just said, depending on the place, you could give $10 to a bouncer and get in.
That certainly happens in Vegas, or used to happen a lot in Vegas.
Oh, my God. He mentioned T-Town 2000. I used to live behind that place.
The caller mentioned T-Town.
I lived behind that joint.
Slappy mentioned T-Town.
Before it was T-Town 2000, it was...
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's when we moved in. It was amazing, too, that massive bar. What was it before it was T-Town 2000?
Someone
call in and tell me that. Because we knew the Miller reps. We'd get in there, and then Miller reps would just start using their account and just bringing out beers and shots, and we'd get just sick. That was some good time. All right, we've got one segment to go on the show. It's been going away, going real fast, but lots more to get to. And if we can get something before we get out of here, we'll do our best. It's Nick and Joel in the Press Box, ESPN.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
But the final segment of what's been a very, very fun Tuesday on the program. Not a ton of sports going on, so we got you some valuable information on the COVID vaccine, if you should take it, if you did take it, the symptoms, otherwise. Then we got into this Nick twisted fake ID discussion, which was phenomenal.
I wasn't the only person on Westheimer that pulled up for a fake ID.
Several of you people, again, coming through in the clutch, the listeners with their knowledge today. Pete's Wildlife, that's what it was. And I'll tell you this, and a lot of you Rockets fans will remember this name, but Jeff Hagedorn.
Well, clarify what Pete's Wildlife, because Pete's no one knows Wildlife from the last segment.
Okay, so Pete's Wildlife was what the big bar was called on Richmond right before Hillcroft, before it became
T-Town.
Club 6400, then T-Town 2000.
Oh, so it became 6400 before it became T-Town. Okay.
Yes. So we lived behind Pete's Wildlife. So when the Rockets hired me on the same day they hired Jeff Hagedorn, Jeff Hagedorn was the Rockets studio announcer before me, and then later did some TV for Comets. And he was a play-by-play guy for the Comets, and then he also did some TV for the Rockets in the studio and things like that. So when we were hired on the same day, it was suggested, hey, if you guys are both new in town and you guys are going to be traveling and everything like that, maybe you guys should look to get be roommates because it might be easier.
Yeah.
Well, my best friend growing up had moved down here. And I'd never been down here, but he moved down here before we were hired, like a couple years before. And so he was like, why don't we just get a big place? It's probably cheaper. And then when you guys are on the road, I'll be there so I can watch the place. I'm like, bet. Cool. So we found this brand new apartment complex. We got a 3-bedroom apartment, and it was all brand, obviously new carpet, new everything, new appliances.
Right.
We're like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
So the real estate people showed it to us at 1 o'clock on like a Wednesday. Quiet, pools, the whole works. We're like, oh, dude.
This and place
the
rent is perfect.
Was something like $1,100 or something like that. We're like, this place is absolutely what we need. We put the deposit down. We signed all the paperwork. We were golden. I went back to Oregon. Jeff went back to Minneapolis. We were all packing up our things. My boy John is still here. All of a sudden, John calls me one night and he goes, you know how we kept saying it's too good to be true on the apartment? I go, yeah. He goes, you know why they showed it to us at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday? I'm like, why? He's like, because the place across the street at 6 o'clock on any other night, all the way until 2 a.m., is absolutely pumping bass and jumping like you wouldn't believe. I'm like, how bad? He's like, we have blinds in the living room that vibrate every time they change songs. I'm like, no. So we had to deal with just a massive population of drunks every Thursday through Saturday
night. Strippers? Probably strippers, too.
Oh, nearby. Yo, we had strippers that lived across the hall.
Oh, yeah. Because that area is notorious for complexes that used to strippers resided in. There'd be so many strippers in that complex. My buddy John had an apartment at that complex. I'm like, hey, can I come over? He's like, I really don't want to do anything right now. I know, but I just want to come over because you've got strippers everywhere.
The pool scene during the Saturday and Sunday days was off the charts.
Yeah, but the ones that were notoriously known for being complexes that had strippers, I don't think they're known for being strippers. You know, they're not known for the same stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. Now, let me ask you this, because this is probably out of your realm, Nick. But Dusty asks, was I the only person that went to City Streets on Richmond?
Right down the street from us. Nope, I went.
Yeah, and
it's
that was
similar in the sense that T-Town had, you know, like the rap room, like different rooms. City Streets had that too.
But I was going to say, but City Streets, it was separate bars.
Correct.
It was like bars within the bar.
Correct.
And that's what made it popular. Correct. We didn't go there often.
I went.
But I definitely had been there.
I just had a connect there, so that's why I would go in. They wouldn't mess with me. But, yeah, City Streets, it had its run for a while. It was basically right where the Chipotle and the 24-hour and that shopping center right there off of Richmond. So I used to, it's literally 5 minutes away from the station. So,
well, the one that was even closer is the one that we always end up reverting back to because it's in our building. But the Roxy had its day too.
It had its moment. At one point, I think it was like either the longest running club in Houston or one of the longest running clubs in Houston.
Sunday nights at the Roxy was not to be messed with Mr. Barkley.
It was next level.
It was on the schedule. Believe me. Charles wants to get in here on bars before we get out of here. Charles, what's going on?
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's up?
What's up, man?
Hey man, yeah. So back in the mid '90s, when the Rockets won their second championship, a buddy of mine used to work down a lot of the bars, and he bought a place right there off of Richmond, just pretty close to Sam's Boat. So anyway, we go over to this bar and said, "Well, we're watching some, we'll watch a game with a couple of girls." We go in, and there's like four strippers that he knew, three girls that he used to work at one of the clubs at, and then the Rockets won the championship that night. Best day of my life.
Yeah, I mean, dude, they're just that was some fun days, man.
Largo on Twitch says, little did Nick and Joel know they spurred a criminal enterprise. Yeah, we kind of asked a question on the fake IDs, and it turns out that we had a bunch of criminals that were illegally getting and selling and making fake IDs.
And we appreciate Mel for calling in, but you are without a doubt the biggest criminal this show has ever talked to.
Without a question.
You have become a millionaire off of other people, sir, and we know you now. We recognize your voice.
Someone said Lizard Lounge on West Alabama.
Lizard Lounge?
I've heard of that.
Did you?
Yeah. Right by Sam's, there was a kind of a hole-in-the-wall spot, and I want to believe, I think it was called the Dark Horse that Rudy T used to like, and that at the time, the Rockets equipment manager, David Nordstrom, rest in peace, but DH got the nickname DH for Dark Horse because they were would go there to drink. Yeah.
What else did I do in that area? Well, Hurricane Hut was kind of big at the time in that area.
Yeah. What was Vernon Maxwell's spot?
You told me about it. I didn't know about it because I didn't. Yeah, I wasn't
it was
able to
like the
out.
Hurricane Hut, but it was something else, and it was right there by Sam's. Someone said Bronx Bar was big. Yes,
Bronx
it was.
Bar was
Bronx
big.
Bar was very big.
It was big.
Yep. Yucatan Liquor Stand. Thank you very much, Tesh Line. That was V Max's spot. The Yucatan Liquor Stand.
Did he get into a fight there? Was that the one where he got into a fight?
Where didn't he get?
Oh, so he might have got you. You couldn't remember.
He might have got into a fight
but
there.
But we're talking about fights that made the news. You know what I mean?
He got pulled over over by Shepherd Plaza where he had the gun under the driver's seat when he ran a red light or something. Or
what'd he say?
Robert Ory was part owner of a bar in Shepherd Plaza when that was big.
And Catino Mobley was a part of Belvedere, I think.
That's correct, too.
If I'm not mistaken. In Uptown Park.
Uptown.
Or yes. Uptown. Is it Uptown or Uptown Park? But Uptown.
Uptown Park or Plaza or whatever it is, yeah. Yep, so no question. That was some good memories, people. That was some good stuff today.
I feel like we're hitting the club this week. You're vaccinated. I mean, we might as well hit the club this weekend, right, Joel?
Blue Planet. I had heard of that back in the day, too.
Blue Planet was not my favorite.
Wasn't it on Richmond? It was
close
to...
I didn't like Blue Planet. I think it was on Richmond. I've been there a couple times back. I didn't like it.
Your country bar that was Wednesday nights?
Wild West?
Wild West was...
R.I.P., dog. R.I.P.
I know it, but Wild West was Wednesday nights and the night before Thanksgiving, and then Sunday nights was the Roxy. And man, during that Shepherd Plaza had a run too, where they had a lot. Strychnine was the punter for the Oilers. Greg Montgomery had his own bar. Strychnine. Cabo was right there. Shepherd Plaza was off the chain too for a while. I just used off the chain, but it was.
I'd give anything for Wild West to open up again. Anything.
Pretty popular.
Although everybody makes fun of me for liking this Steve Earle song. Have you ever did the Copperhead Road at Wild West on Wednesday nights?
No, and I never will. And I'm nodding.
You lying
to
ass.
You. I would never. I don't understand when it actually happened, but you turned a corner so quickly one day from the start of the suspects to all of a sudden one day.
It was just a phase.
Kind of like you're driving on 59.
That's not a phase.
You suddenly went 90 around a corner and became a country guy and a two-stepper before Barry and I could even blink an eye and go, what the hell happened to you?
It was just a phase. I still love country music. I'll still listen to it. Like the modern, because I've only genuinely listening to it for like the past two or three years. So like there's some traditionalists out there that absolutely hate my taste in country music, and that's fine. But I would pay some serious money to see you do the Copperhead Road.
It ain't never going to happen.
Trey did it with me once, the Jugs.
That's Trey,
right
me.
There in the village, and we had a blast, and everybody followed.
And you know what? We used to go to Wild West all those times. Never once did I two-step. I just knew that it was the best damn-looking women in the city. On a Wednesday night, Wild West.
that place was like 40 years running, wasn't it? It was forever.
It was basically killed by the pandemic, right?
It was, yeah, 100%.
Just like Barry's Pizza.
Correct.
Barry's Pizza, which had been there forever and a day.
Correct.
Had to close because of the pandemic and would not reopen.
Should we squeeze in this last
caller? You can
try
it. You got to go quick, Jonathan, because we got to get out of here. What's up?
What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, what up? I just wanted to comment. You guys remember Fridays at Wild West was dollar beers for a long time in the early 2000s. Also, just real quick, 2007, 2008, Chrome Sundays.
Yes.
Was right after
Sunday Fun Day.
Yep.
Yeah, was right after La Strada. La Strada on Westheimer.
All right, we got to go anyway.
Get wasted there, stumble over to Chrome, and if you made it to work on Monday, you were like dying.
Wow, we appreciate the phone call, man.
And then after that, when downtown, there was never anybody going to any bars downtown. And then all of a sudden, Toke Bar, and they opened a Cabo down there, and Spy. Spy Lounge was big down in the downtown.
I've been to Spy quite a bit.
Yeah. That was some good stuff. No, all right, we got to get out of here. Before we get out of here, I want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. If you're looking for an energy provider that won't screw you around, give you the best rates in town, and is always going to be 100% honest, there's only one place to go. It's Infuse Energy. They got the best rating in the business, 5 out of 5 stars from the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. And more than that, they're going to get human beings on the phone that ask you questions, get you answers, and find you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. There's also going to be times that there are other companies out there that can beat their rates and prices. They're going to tell you who that is, too, because they're going to be honest with you when they don't have to be, because they know it means something today. And you may not go with them this time, but you'll be back to go with them another time because you remember the honesty and the fact that they were upfront and they were communicative throughout the process. They're enthusiastic about getting you the best deal they can, and they're going to show it. All you got to do is pick up the phone. Call them today, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or go to infuseenergy.com. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, $25 bill credit on your first bill. And simply put, it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. I changed and switched about 4 years ago and keep re-upping with them. You should, too. All of our listeners are telling us that signed up, lowest energy bills they've had. Check them out today. Infuse energy into your life. Headed down to Knoxville with a weekly load. You can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.